Good morning. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
So one of my favorite pastimes or hobbies is reading and sometimes listening to the audiobook of fantasy or science fiction stories. And I love how they connect the make-believe to real life and the needs and choices that we have to make. And one of my all-time favorites is the Harry Potter series. And if you haven't read them or need a reminder, the series pits the character of Harry Potter, a boy wizard, against the evil Lord Voldemort. Now, for those who haven't read it, I won't spoil much here. But the premise of the book is that Harry is a boy who survived an attack as a young child from Voldemort, with his mother shielding Harry and at the cost of her own life. And Harry tries to understand how this saved him and how it turns out, is that the protection was done out of love, and no other magic could penetrate this. Later, and to prevent spoilers, and I won't say later, Harry and Dumbledore, his mentor and professor, speak about how ultimately to beat the evil Lord Voldemort. Harry eventually realizes that love personified is when one commits oneself entirely to enter into the arena of battle. This is a fantasy story, after all, so we have to have a battle. Harry reasons that there's little to choose between the two ways of either choosing to go into it or running from it. And Harry realizes that choosing to sacrifice makes all the difference in the world. Now, as I mentioned, fantasy stories can give glimpses into deeper meaning of life. And the deeper meaning of life for us today is to realize that we must truly commit fully to Christ. And I want to look at how the gospel reading points to this. Recall the encounter. A young man comes to Christ, and he starts by saying, "Good teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And I want us to first notice the good teacher comment. Because it's interesting, Christ's response. He says, "Why do you call me good?" And it's an important question because Christ is not trying to be difficult or dismiss his goodness, but it's to see if the man recognizes what he's doing by saying, "Good teacher." Because only God is good. And so the man has to make the connection that if he's going to call Christ good, Christ must be God. And in order for Christ, if Christ is to be God for him, all instruction that he then says must be followed. And the instruction for today, as we hear it, is fully committing to God. And we notice that in order for this to be a willing choice, we have to put aside anything else that can keep us from that relationship with God. And we saw that today. The man was told to let go of his riches, but he couldn't do it. And it's important for us to understand money's not the problem. St. Augustine says, "Do you have wealth? It's a good thing, but only if you use it for good. Wealth is an evil for evil, a good for the good. What is not pleasing to your renewed heart, kill off. What is pleasing, nourish. What are the use of the things you have if you do not have the one who gave all?" And I share this because it really captures what we're talking about. Money is not the problem, but whatever we have that becomes our focus instead of God, whether it be money or leisure or the Jaguars, although the preseason does look good, relationships, jobs, anything that we have that we focus on more than on Christ, that's what we need to put aside. And we have to ask ourselves, what steps can we take to do that, to fully commit to God? St. Theophan the Recluse says that one of the first steps is to ask for help. I love that because in order to push aside the distractions and temptations of this world, we need the help of God to do it. St. Theophan says, "We must sacrifice everything to God and do only his will. Yet you will meet in yourself as many wills as you have the powers and wants, all which clamor for your satisfaction. Arm yourself with the most trustworthy weapons, namely, never rely on yourself in anything. Bear always in your heart a perfect, all-daring trust in God alone and remain constantly in prayer." See, it's known that our focus is easily distracted, but the more we make an effort to turn to him, the more capable we become. Through prayer and that active relationship with God, we reduce the impact of all the other things that happen around us. Recall what we hear to the letter in the Philippians. "In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, this is the beginning of the commitment because we make this movement to Christ, acknowledging our need to help. And what happens and follows is wonderful because when we do that, we recognize that we have an absolute dependence on God. I'm reminded of the story of Gideon. It's an Old Testament story, and talk about distractions. It's one of my favorite because he lives under persecution of the Midianites. His entire nation has forgotten about God and is worshiping false idols. But Gideon knows that they need God, but he has no idea how to help. And so Gideon's family is like the culture and everything is known as kind of like the weakest in the region. And so he has very little clout. And Gideon, in his small family that has very little clout, is the smallest in his family. And so he doesn't exactly scream deliverer, but he's committed to God. And so he recognizes all that God has done for Israel in the past and knows that God can do it again. So he pleads for help. And seeing Gideon's dedication to him, God affirms that Gideon is in fact going to be the one who saves his people. But Gideon can't figure out how, so he collects an army. And time comes for battle, and Gideon's created a pretty good force, 22,000 men to fight. And in order to prove that a reliance on God for help is a worthy endeavor, God says, you know what, that's too many. So Gideon listens, says, okay, and he goes down to 10,000 soldiers. And then still too many. God says lower, so Gideon gets rid of more. And eventually the number gets down to 300. 300 people versus thousands of opposing soldiers. Odds are not in Gideon's favor. But acknowledging his own weakness and the need to rely on God, he trusts that 300 is enough because God says so. And so Gideon, of course, then proceeds forward and defeats the Midianite and saves his own people. And it's wonderful to remind ourselves, because if we can see our own weakness or recognize how we really can't do this on our own, we can allow ourselves to be more connected and more dependent on God. And recall back to the gospel teaching. Christ used that analogy that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And there's quite a few different ideas of what this phrase meant, but the crux of the meaning is that what Christ says at the end, without God, everything's impossible. You can't fit a camel through any eye, no matter what your analogy you're looking at, but only with God is it possible. And there's a wonderful quote, and forgive me, I looked up, I tried to figure out where the source was, but it's a wonderful quote that I love so much, and it says that true humility is not an abject, groveling, self-despising spirit, but it is one that with a right estimate of how we see ourselves and how God sees us. We depend on God, and that itself is not at all a weakness. The dependence to allow ourselves to have a proper and true relationship with the Lord is something that we can't live without. And St. John of Kronstadt says that the Lord is everything to you. You must be everything to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord God. We have to abandon the ways of the world and keep walking along a path that leads us away, keep us from walking away on a path that leads us from God. St. Gregory of Nyssa says that it's important how we ought to orient ourselves, and he uses the Beatitude, and I like this. He uses the Beatitude, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. And St. Gregory of Nyssa says that only the person who is hungry for God's righteousness finds what everyone ought to be looking for. And it means that, and this is what St. Gregory says, it means that a person who is blessed must be prudent and have great courage and moderation and temperance and self-control. And that person who is hungry, in short, for all is included into the definitions of virtue. And so we have to think about, how are we using our minds? How are we using our bodies, our hearts? And ask ourselves, is our whole body being used sacrificially for the glory of God? Or are we stopping short in some way? And today's a reminder that we can't be partial Christians. Rather, we have to choose to fully dedicate ourselves to God, and it's not always easy. The ways of the world are full of distractions and temptations, but in our weakness and in our dependence for God, we can make that turn towards Him and allow His guidance to discern our wills for His will for our lives. So it's our opportunity today, and ask ourselves, how do we need to fully commit and, or maybe even recommit ourselves? And I think this is a wonderful time with the fall coming and everything kind of getting back into routine, that we can ask ourselves, maybe what have we gotten lazy or lethargic with over the summer? And I think about the man in the gospel who was great at following the commandments of God, but in the end, he made those commandments the end in itself. And I think that's always something we're tempted to do. We all know we're supposed to go to church, so we go. But how are we going? Is it something we see as an obligation? Or is it something that we see as an opportunity? And are we conscious about our effort to go? Do we make it a point to arrive on time? And do we even come early so that we can prepare ourselves and our hearts and our minds for the liturgy so that we can come and meditate on the hours? You know, we know that we have to be on time for jobs and activities, kids, sports, performances, things like that. But do we get lax sometimes in our worship? And maybe take for granted that we can come whenever we please. And I'll speak even to our kids, because I know sometimes for parents, it's the kids that get in the way. But children can show our ways to commit to God by making, especially on Sundays, the time for us to be ready and waiting. So that the parents don't have to kind of worry about what we have to do to get out the door, but that we can show our commitment to Christ, to God, to His church by coming and being ready when it's time to go. Because we do it for school sometimes, but we don't always do it here. And what else can we do in this church to recommit or fully commit ourselves to Christ? What ministries might we want to be involved in? And what we may be more deliberately focus on our life with Christ? I know that we have many in this church who are car or shower singers. But what if we brought that talent to the choir and maybe even came for choir rehearsals on Wednesdays or Saturdays to learn the melodies and the tones of the church, to understand the ways that we can engage in that liturgical worship? Perhaps we can dedicate ourselves maybe more towards like helping in the homeless ministry, or as we know, the little insert in our bulletin, Sunday school starts next month. And maybe we can make that effort to put ourselves either in the adult class or to get our children here for the Sunday school class. We know, of course, that the real teaching happens in the little church at home, but maybe there's a way for our church here to supplement that and put our hearts closer to Christ in that way. And maybe there's something else that we might be able to commit ourselves that maybe we haven't yet thought of, or maybe have that opportunity to start anew. I mean, I'm not going to say it has to be this way, but Pizza Palooza is a wonderful ministry. It could be something we do on a regular basis. But, you know, maybe we need somebody to, like, jump into, like, community fellowship times and somebody that maybe can help take that lead on that. And Father Ted's always one for taking on more helpers to minister to this flock. And maybe this is an opportunity for us to think about ways we can do that. Maybe we want to be on the parish council or participate in Silver Stars or something in another way. And I want to close with a well-known story from Julius Caesar. And I'm in no way saying be Julius Caesar. He didn't do many wrong things. But there was a neat story about when he was on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions. He wanted to ensure the success of his military venture, and he ordered his men to march to the edge of the cliffs of Dover. And he commanded them, look down at the water below. And they looked down. To their amazement, they saw that their ships that they had crossed to get over to the land were burning. Because Caesar had burned the ship so that they had no choice but to move further in and keep going and to commit fully to their mission. There was no way for retreat. And again, not saying we should be Julius Caesar, but in what way can we maybe take away and put all the things that we maybe allowed as a thing to keep us from fully going forward and make this a moment to commit ourselves now? So let us do that today as we kind of reflect on this gospel and think about ways in which we can truly lead ourselves closer and deeper into our relationship with Christ. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, and O God, have mercy upon us and save us.
Amen.